One of the things that I always tell people during open enrollment to look at when you're choosing between things like an HMO or a PPO, or even within the PPO, the different levels of service deductibles and things that you're choosing from, always look at the individuality of your need, right? Whether you're a single person, whether you are married with children, whether you are married without children.
Life is complicated, but getting healthy doesn't need to be. And hello, thanks for joining us. Welcome to Inland Medical Center's Health Matters. This is a monthly podcast that gets real about wellness, and we get to check in on ourselves. I'm Susie Lowry Hall, and I'll be your host. We're going to have some candid conversations on health topics that matter most to you and our loved ones and our family. And the goal is to empower, inspire, and make a difference. We're going to be joined with Inlo experts with real insight and real stories from people just like you and me. And we're going to learn easy steps that we can take to start down the road to wellness.
It's almost fall, y'all. The change of the season means pumpkin spice lattes, sweater weather, and for many North State employees, the ability to make changes to their insurance. But what are your benefits exactly? And how do you know if you're signing up for the plan that you need to access the healthcare you need or your family needs? And why is it important to make those decisions now before you really need care? Today, we're changing things up a bit. In this special two-part series, we're with Lisa Stark, Inlo's Senior Director of Patient Financial Services, to discuss open enrollment and what you need to know about choosing your benefits. In the second part of this series, we'll drill down even more to understand how your benefits translate into your care and how they apply to the services you receive. Lisa will go over all the steps to take to be better prepared to access your benefits. Thanks, Lisa, so much for being here today.
I'm really glad to join you.
So before we get started, just tell us a little bit about you.
Oh, gosh. I have been in this healthcare reimbursement revenue cycle space for longer than I care to admit, but I will tell you, it's been a little over 20 years. And honestly, what I have learned through this time is how important this information is. So while I would say this isn't a natural career path that I would have chosen early on when I was going to, you know, a nurse, we decided that this was going to be a much better path for me. And I'm really glad because it's really given me information that I can use practical in my life and share with people who maybe don't have direct access to this with the level of scrutiny that we can in this industry. So
yeah, nice. That's awesome. So yeah, you're an expert for sure. I'm super pumped. I'm awesome. Very excited about this conversation. So let's just start from the basics, which is understanding terms of benefits. So including the word benefits themselves.
Yeah. So I think a lot of times people take that term very loosely, but at a very fundamental level, your benefits are basically a contract between you and your insurance company. And it basically is either decided by you, if you are someone who self-enrolls privately, or it could be chosen by your employer if you're part of a group package. And in essence, what that contract is defining is it's defining the shared financial responsibility for any of the care that you receive. So it's very important to understand what your family's needs are so that when you are choosing, you can make the right choice for you. The most common things that people will see are deductible, copay, coinsurance, those types of things. And how your insured calculates that is differently. So for example, a copayment is something that is a very fixed, it's a fixed rate. It's typically, you know, a $20 here, a $30 there. And it's for things like a private physician's office visit. And it's the same thing every time that you go in. Then you have more services that are what we would kind of call like technical in nature or facility oriented. When you go have lab work done, when you present to the hospital emergency room, things like that. And a deductible is a fixed amount that you agree to in this benefits package that you have to meet wholly before your insured will start paying. So if you have a $5,000 deductible, and we see a lot of this now in the marketplace, right? High deductible plans. So if you have a $5,000 deductible, you will have to pay cumulative $5,000 out of pocket before your insurance will start paying on your claims. Then what gets kind of interesting is then you have this piece that's called coinsurance. And I think this is probably the most confusing for people. Coinsurance is your percentage. So you see these things like 80-20 plans or 70-30 plans. And what that's basically defining is that once you have met your deductible in full, then once your insured starts to process, they're going to look to your benefit package and say, okay, of the amount we would pay, we're going to pay 80%. and the patient's coinsurance is 20%. So sometimes that can get confusing. You'll notice that you'll receive a paper statement from your insurance company. It's called an explanation of benefits. You will hear people call it an EOB. We love acronyms in this industry. But you will see it defined in those categories because you will see your deductible happen and then you will see your coinsurance. And they are two very important numbers that when you're choosing your benefit package, you want to understand what that means. Another term that I think is confusing and is important to understand is your max out-of-pocket benefits. So a lot of times you will see these things that say individual, family, max out-of-pocket. And what that means is that after you have met your deductible, after you've paid your coinsurance, if within a given year, because that's when each of these numbers, each of these categories of benefits reset is each year, once you've reached a certain max amount, then your insured will start paying at 100%. So that's really important for people who might have some chronic conditions that they're dealing with, who might have frequent visits to the hospital. There is this safety net in most packages that say, hey, at the end of the day, your max amount you're going to pay is $10,000. And then the same happens with a family. It'll be a different amount, but then that's a cumulative amount that the family all contributes to. And once that amount is hit, then the total amount you have paid is complete for the year and your insured will pay at 100%.
So your max out of pocket is not necessarily the same as your deductible?
Correct. It'll obviously be higher. So if you have a $5,000 deductible, then maybe your max out of pocket might be $10,000. And that would mean then that you'd pay $5,000 in coinsurance. And when once you hit that, you've met your $10,000 max and they'll pay at 100% for your benefits.
Okay. And then just so we are clear on, we say a year, that's why open enrollment happens in the fall, is because the idea would be the package you selected would then go into effect January of the new year.
Absolutely.
And then you have the full 52 weeks or a year to access your benefits.
Exactly.
Okay.
The other thing too, I want to point out too, is this is another thing that'll happen that is confusing to people when they enroll either with a new plan or have a change. Maybe your employer has made a change at the new year. You'll hear this term coordination of benefits or COB. And in essence, what this is your insurance company, if it is new to you, verifying that they are truly responsible for you now. So you'll typically, when you have your first service of the year under your new plan, you'll get a questionnaire in the mail. And a lot of people look at this and they think it's just an EOB or an explanation of benefits and I don't need to do anything and it goes right in the round file. And the trick about the coordination of benefit questionnaire is it's truly the insured verifying this is not the responsibility of any other party before they will actually make payment. So it's really important that at the beginning of the new year, you're watching out for those things if you have switched plans or if your employer has switched plans, because your insurer will not actually issue payment on your services until you reply to that. And so I know at Enlo, we try to do a lot of communication with that with patients. You know, we'll send them a letter to kind of let them know, because sometimes they'll open up our letter on our letterhead, you know, a little more readily versus an insurance one. And we really are just trying to help walk them through what that form means and what they need to do with it, because I think a lot of them forget. And sometimes if your employer makes the switch and you weren't active in that process, you sometimes don't even realize you might have to fill out that form. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's so many scams out there. And I, you know, I think if someone doesn't tell you it's a safe thing to fill out, you're like, well, I don't want to put my information on here. Is it real? But like you said, we could always call and confirm. Absolutely. And yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. So anything else on our terms of benefits, including benefits themselves?
I don't think so. I think the main thing that we want to now take a step into perhaps is how those benefits apply. That's probably more important to what people are trying to take out of this conversation. And I think what I want to touch on today is I want to touch on some of the, I don't want to call them pitfalls, but I would call them cautionary services, so that you understand the difference and how those benefits will affect you financially based on a choice you make.
Okay, let's go.
So during open enrollment, you'll see a lot of things that are terms like HMO versus PPO. And that in essence has a effect on how your benefits are applied, how you access services. And there's typically a financial benefit to one or the other from a premium perspective. So when you think of an HMO typically comes with a lower out-of-pocket for patients, but the cost of the lower out-of-pocket is typically a little more restrictive accessing of services. For example, you might be assigned to a PCP rather than freely choosing of your own choice.
And a PCP is a
primary care physician.
Perfect.
You might need a referral to see a specialist versus if you have a PPO plan, you might actually just directly refer yourself. You might need more authorizations for certain services, or you might need to try other types of preventative services before they will authorize. One of the things that I always tell people during open enrollment to look at when you're choosing between things like an HMO or a PPO, or even within the PPO, the different levels of service deductibles and things that you're choosing from, always look at the individuality of your need, right? Whether you're a single person, whether you are married with children, whether you are married without children, what your recurring needs are. Do you have a chronic condition that you might be seeing a specialist for or need access to certain services? Are you fairly healthy and have not needed anything other than preventative services for the last few years? Those things are really important when you're trying to weigh the options between, do I want to be able to self-refer myself to someone, or do I want to save money on the premiums, but then go through a little bit more? It's not as critical that I need to do it in a fast pace. Those are all things that are really important when you're making that change. The other thing that is really important is understanding in-network versus out-of-network. So this is physicians and healthcare facilities contract with the insurance companies. And when a facility or a physician is contracted, they're considered in-network. This is, for example, Enloe Medical Center is contracted with various payers. And if you went to those payers' websites, you would see that we are an in-network facility. When you have differences in your plan benefits. So for example, we talked about the deductible, We talked about the co-pays, we talked about the co-insurances. Many plans will have duplicates of those that apply when you're in network, and then there's different amounts that apply when you're out of network. So for example, it's always in the insured's best interest to direct you to a insured in-network facility, right? That's who they partner with. So in that case, you might only have a 20% coinsurance if you receive your services there, versus if you needed to go to a facility that was out of network, you might have a 40% coinsurance. So when you're choosing, understanding that there are differences to those, and then looking at your geographic area that you live in, and realizing, is the plan that you're going to be a member of, is it in network with your services that are local? Or is it not, and you're willing to drive, or vice versa, or are you willing to see them at a higher cost if it's out of network? So the other thing too is to really realize whether your plan offers out of network benefits. There are a lot of services and plans that do not offer out of network. So that meant if you self-referred yourself to someone who was not in the benefit in network list, They could potentially deny the whole claim and not pay for that. So it's really just important to understand not only your benefits, but who in your region is in network and who is not, and is your practitioner.
So if you explained that very well, would you be willing to now take that same experience? For example, I go to my primary care doctor and I need to get lab work. Can you walk me through that same experience or what I would do as a patient?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So you as a patient have gone to your primary care physician.
Who's in network.
Who's in network. Yeah, good point. In network. We verified that before we showed up. And the in-network physician says, I want you to see a specialist because of this particular thing. So they're going to, depending on whether you're an HMO or a PPO, they're either going to refer you to that specialist or you can self-refer, which simply just means you can pick up the phone as a patient, call that specialist office and say, hey, my name is Lisa Stark. I need to be seen for this reason. Please schedule me. You don't have to obtain an authorization first before you go. So that's the difference between an HMO and a PPO. So then you go to a specialist and the specialist decides, we need to do some diagnostics. We're going to have you have this particular ultrasound done. We want you to have this particular lab work done. Here are your orders. In most scenarios, most providers have a facility close to them that they typically work with. And so they will, you know, say, here's your lab order or here's your ultrasound order. And if you have a PPO, you can just self-schedule. Please give them a call, get it scheduled. They'll send me the results. The important thing to understand your benefits is if you are an HMO, you're going to be saying, is this someone or is this a facility that is in my network? But that's true of a PPO also. So for example, as Enloe, we have those outpatient services, but there are also other facilities in town that offer similar services. So you would just need to either look at your plan book, you would call your insurance company, or you could call that facility and say, hi, I'm Lisa Stark. This is my particular plan. Are you contracted? Are you in network? Yes, we are. Great. Let's schedule. A lot of the insureds now have a lot of that listing of in-network facilities and providers on their website. Mm-hmm. So that's also an option that's really quick. The other thing I want to point out too is, because this is always an important differentiation, the topics that I'm discussing are really for things that are scheduled and non-emergent. So it's just always a reminder to everyone that emergency services are covered regardless. So if you have an emergent need and need to go to the emergency room, you do not need to make sure that your emergency room is in network. They will help you with that when you get there. But I do like to point that out because sometimes it gets very overwhelming. And for those people who are very conscientious about those things, we don't ever want that to prevent care. So just a reminder that everything we're talking about is for scheduled non-emergent services.
I really like that you pointed that out because that was going to be my next question is, yeah. Well, you get nervous to go because you don't want to pay for it or you're not sure if it's covered and you wonder, is it worth it? And I know that's terrible that we're constantly like balancing our health against our budget, but it's a real concern.
Absolutely. And that is why I do point that out because once you're into the healthcare system, there are lots of resources to help you, but it's a lot of time, it's very unnerving and very scary to also put that trust in someone else to help you navigate that. But just know that we have some very well-versed individuals in our financial counseling departments who can help facilitate those discussions.
Nice. And then I would like to, you say you should call. So if you want it, so you would call your own insurance. So it sounds like me as a patient or the insured.
The member.
I would call my insurance and they could help me figure out, again, the network, out of network for scheduled health services. But if for some reason that felt like it wasn't going anywhere, then your other recommendation would be that you could call the location itself. And so in this case, Enloe, if someone wanted to access Enloe, which I would recommend if you need something, you know.
Me too.
Yeah, that they would they call your guys' office? Do they call the clinic directly or what would be the recommendation?
Yeah, so we always recommend that you call your plan first only because there's literally infinite options for plans and your plan will be different than everybody else's plan. So we have some very skilled people able to help navigate that. But if you can get a hold of your plan, it's always best because they literally have the outline of everything that's part of that benefits package that you signed up for. Absent that, if you can't get assistance, then for example, at Enloe, what we would do is you would call our business office and we're financial counselors. They are able to actually go through and help you kind of differentiate between what's in network, what is covered, what might not be, what things might need, you know, an authorization. We can provide estimates of service. That's also another service that we offer for people who have something coming up that might be something big, like a surgical procedure or some sort of invasive procedure. That's typically where people kind of get a little nervous and want a little extra help kind of navigating that.
Nice. I'm going to bring us back to our benefits. So the actual process of it's enrollment time. I get the package in the mail. It's a giant package that I'm supposed to read. Let's walk through that a little bit.
Yes, the infamous large magazine with no fun in it whatsoever.
Not a single picture.
Not a single picture. It's just all words and they mean nothing to you. The big thing I want to just as a takeaway during open enrollment, just understand that the packet has a lot of details in it. And while the devil's in the details, yes. For open enrollment, what you really want to make sure that you're focusing on is the high level stuff. And you're wanting to look at the financials, right? You're wanting to look at your deductible amount. You're wanting to look at your coinsurance amount. You're wanting to make sure that it has both in-network and out-of-network benefits. But the thing that I just always like to caution people about is really take a few moments, maybe have a discussion with your spouse, talk about future plans. Are you planning to have children this year? Are you, you know, are you doing different things? Are you going to go on lots of road trip vacations, right? People don't think about these types of things, but really taking a look and weighing the pros and cons between the monthly premiums and how the lesser premiums typically translate to higher out-of-pockets, higher deductibles, higher co-insurances, and really weigh what your options are and what feasibility you would have to pay those larger amounts should something catastrophic happens. What we see sometimes is that people who are fairly healthy are, you know, young, maybe don't have children. And so they rightly so say, hey, from a risk perspective, my risk of having anything significant happen to me is less. So I'm going to go with the higher deductible plan because it saves me XYZ per month in premiums. But then something terrible happens. We're in a car accident or we have some unexpected illness hit us. And then we end up with an ambulance bill and an emergency room visit and a couple of, you know, surgeries. And pretty soon that high deductible that you thought was nowhere in your future is all of a sudden a reality. So that I would say is the biggest takeaway, is really looking at honestly, like what your risk benefit is and making a decision that's right for you. Because it may be that the right decision is the lower monthly premium and the higher deductible, and that's fine. But just make sure that you're aware that that's the choice you're making. Because when something does happen, that's typically what we see, is people didn't understand that when they signed up for that, this would be the end result should something catastrophic happen. Mm-hmm. You know, Susie, the other thing that I would just add is one of the great things of having this conversation is the different calls that we get for people who don't understand is really, it's almost like disheartening, because I wish they had this information before so they didn't feel this overwhelm of a misunderstanding or disconnect from what's actually happening. But we get so many calls about people who don't understand what their explanation of benefits means, or when we as a provider are appealing different decisions with their insurance plan. Their insurance plan sends them multiple versions of something and they question, why does it look like this versus this? Or why is this amount different than this amount? Why did this thing not get covered? Why did this thing get denied? And so it's great that our insurances are required to give us those notifications. But if you didn't understand what you signed up for in the first place, it's really difficult to translate that information to what's happening real time when you're getting all those notices. So the more you can ask questions up front, the better off you're going to be, one, but also it'll kind of help calm your nervous system too when you do get those other notices. So.
Yeah. And that's, I think you just hit on that too, because usually when people go to like seek out their benefits, it's because you're forced to. Something happened, like you mentioned, and in that moment you're dealing with whatever just happened to you, and you're also thrown into a process or a system that is not super clear.
Absolutely. We'd love for you to choose Enlo, but let's be honest, most of the time when you're making a choice like that, it's not always for an exciting thing, mm-hmm. and you've got other things to worry about.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks again, Lisa, for being here. We really appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
If you like what you heard today, please give us a thumbs up, subscribe, and share. The story you share just may save a life. Thanks again for getting real with us today and listening to Health Matters.